A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're in professional broadcasting for how many years? 20-odd years on Sky Sports and all those other years beforehand, and you don't realise that you're being recorded. You're in the studio environment. Everyone's wearing a microphone. You've got a microphone attached to your shirt or your jacket. It's right there. Anyone who wants to record what you're saying can do that. So, you know, if you're going to be an asshole, make sure you don't be an asshole when it's being recorded. It's just common sense. Anyway, what was I going to say? The entire human race, yeah? Assholes. Total cunts, a lot of them. Not one of them understands the offside rule. Not one. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, hello there. And welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. I hope you're well. I'm assuming you're well this week because, well, things have been going pretty well on the pitch, haven't they? 2-3-0 wins. Fantastic performance against Wigan. Carling Cup final after beating Ipswich 3-0. Two assists from Arshavin. Brilliant goal from Nicholas Bendtner. Robin van Persie hat-trick. I mean, it's been a good week on the pitch. One of the better weeks of the season. And we've got some kind of momentum going now, which is a very good thing because I think we're gonna need it because the games are coming thick and fast. They just don't stop. You know, it's midweek weekend, and we're going to need to use all our players and it's good to see a few of them come back into form. The Wigan game in particular was an outstanding performance. Alhabzi in the Wigan goal was brilliant. There's only one save or one chance I thought we created that we should definitely have scored, and that was the Theo Walcott one. I don't know why he didn't shoot because he's usually very good in that situation, but the rest of them, there were brilliant saves by Alhabzi, and it happens a lot. Maybe it's the spectacularness of the arena, but it used to happen at Highbury too, where the opposition goalkeeper would come and play the game of his life. But then maybe we don't see it happening in other games because we don't watch them as much, if you know what I mean. There must be other teams who go, oh, fucking hell, why is it every time we play like this, their goalkeeper plays like that? But anyway, we got through in the end, a hat-trick from Robin van Persie and the second goal. Well, I like that goal a lot. That was a thing of beauty, the pass from Seskin, the finish from Van Persie, and even though he put his penalty over the bar, he got another chance late on through Theo Walcott and rounded off the hat-trick. A thoroughly deserved hat-trick as well. And then Carling Cup semi-final. First half wasn't so good. Second half was absolutely fine. The minute the first goal went in, that was it. The relief was obvious. So on the pitch, it's been good stuff from Arsenal. We've got a few days of rest and recuperation ahead of the FA Cup tie on Sunday. And we'll have more details of that a bit later on. But also this week, off the pitch, there's been the whole, well, Sky Sports and Richard Keys and Andy Gray thing. And at the very heart of it, it's serious, of course, what they did and what they said. What they try and pass off as the worst word of the week, or the most badly used word of the week, has to be banter. I don't know how many times I've heard it, but it's nearly always been used incorrectly. Because banter is like friendly exchange, it's teasing, and, you know, it's supposed to be good-natured. And anyone who listened to what Andy Gray and Richard Key said knows that it was not good-natured. And then there were the subsequent leaks, right? And this is what proves that within Sky there was a will to get rid of them. Because if they'd been nice guys and popular, none of this would have reached the public domain. Now, you might say, if they'd been nice guys, they wouldn't have made those remarks in the first place. But leaving that aside, there was a genuine will from people within Sky to make it worse for them. The Andy Gray clip where he's telling that girl to tuck the microphone into his crotch. Imagine if that was your daughter in work and a senior employee is making those kind of suggestions to her. In no other workplace would that be tolerated. Old boys club here, it was. And that's leaving aside the fact that if that was your daughter and, you know, someone did that to her, you'd want to rip their head off. And rightly so. And then the whole Richard Keys one, the most cringeworthy clip, of course, where he's talking about smashing it, and it being a young lady, a friend of Jamie Radnap's. I don't know who it is. I hope we don't find out who it is, because that would be unfair on that particular girl, the same way it was tremendously unfair on Cheyenne Massey. Because all she was doing a job that neither of those two could possibly do. And the aspersions they cast on her have made her life, you know, very difficult. She's now probably the most famous assistant referee in the world. And she's just at the very start of her career. And at the start of a career that's going to be more difficult for her simply because she is a woman in a male-dominated sport. And she's going to have the spotlight on her for, I don't know, ever, maybe? So that's what they did was so unfair and not right. And I'm glad that the pair of them have paid for it. I mean, if you listen to the interview on TalkSport, wow. Now, someone said on Twitter, it was the best episode of Alan Partridge ever. I mean, it's one thing. If you go on with genuine attrition and you're genuinely sorry about what it is you've done, that's all you do. You go in, you say, I'm sorry. That was totally out of order. I ask for forgiveness. I won't do it again. I've learned my lesson. That's it. You don't then say, well, I'm very sorry and there was no excuse for it, but who's to say this doesn't happen in dressing rooms up and down the country? And who's to say lots of people didn't think that way? And who's to say it's in the Man United dressing room and there's dark forces and Rio Ferdinand and Karen Brady wouldn't answer her phone because... I mean, grow the fuck up and grow some balls. But that's the hubris of Keyes and Gray, this belief that they were so important, that the apology was totally mealy-mouthed, wasn't it? It just didn't mean anything because you knew he didn't really mean it because he didn't really think that he'd done anything that wrong. And that's what made it all the more amusing for me, anyway. That and the interview on TalkSport. And if you haven't heard it, go to 3andin.com and you'll find the post there and you can listen to the whole lot of it. Make yourself a cup of tea and have a biscuit and have a listen. It is toe-curling, but utterly amusing at the same time. Right, that's about that then, in terms of, well, for now. For the rest of what's happened this week, here's Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's me 30-second roundup. We're going to home. Save. Who is this die-hard villain-looking fucker of a goalkeeper? Robin, get in there. 1-0 at half-time, dangerous. We should be more up. Robin again. Penalty. Oh, jeez, it was a penalty as well. Hat-trick. Ipswich, 0-0 at half-time. Oh, Jesus, we're going out. We're going to lose. I hate these cunts. They're all fucking cunts, all the players and the managers. 3-0 at full-time. Deadly. I love the lads. Someone get me a ticket for the final!
More from Internet Joe on next week's podcast. Still to come on this week's one. You'll be surprised to hear we've got some Talkshite Radio, some old-style news, and we'll be looking ahead to the games coming up on Sunday and, of course, in midweek against Everton. Right now, though, I'm glad to welcome back to the podcast from Mirror Football, John Cross. Hi, John.
Hello, good afternoon.
Let's start with the Carling Cup because Arsenal have reached the final. Despite losing the first leg against Ipswich, the performance, particularly second half against Ipswich in the second leg, was very good. And once the first goal went in, it looked like there was only going to be one winner. Is it a bit of a psychological hurdle overcome there a bit? Because Arsenal have fallen at the semi-final stage a couple of times.
Yeah, I think so. I was getting really twitchy for Arsenal for at half time, I must say, because I didn't really think. While I think Wilshere played really well throughout, Fabregas was obviously putting in the effort. I didn't think they really sort of flowed as well as they perhaps might have, and I think sort of nerves had crept in a little bit. And I think the goal that broke the deadlock, Bentner's finish, was absolutely fantastic after a fantastic Wilshere ball. And I think while I made sort of Wilshere kind of my man of the match, I thought his passing and work rate was exceptional. I thought Bentner had a really good game, really tried and worked hard. And I think eventually it was kind of that, it was just breaking down the sort of the barriers, and once the first goal went in, I think the nerves were really eased and they looked assured in the end, I think.
The trophy itself, obviously, you can't escape the fact, no matter where you are, whether it's television, radio, print, that Arsenal have gone since Jack Wilshere was 13 without winning a trophy, right? So to put that to bed, you know, in the Carling Cup final is hugely important, but surely the benefits of it would go a little bit deeper. I'm of the opinion that, you know, the winning is a habit and you get a taste for it, and this squad, you know, has come close a few times and there's been changes, you know, there's been a sort of a natural attrition from the squad, new players have come in and out, but, you know, as a core group, they're lacking the success that might enable them to go on and have more.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a great point there. I think it's all about the winning mentality. And this has kind of driven me to distraction with Arsene Wenger over the last few years and his attitude towards the Carling Cup. While I think the Carling Cup ties at the Emirates have been some of the most exciting sort of games, because you can see a glimpse of the future, and that's brilliant, and I enjoy that, I do think that sort of the disregard up until this season of the trophy as an opportunity to break that kind of duck, you know, it's been frustrating. But I think it's more than that. I think this trophy, if they win the trophy at the end of February, I think it will get that monkey off their back, really, and just be an absolute, you know, huge lift for the players. It will instill a bit more winning mentality. I keep on drawing this sort of correlation between Man United. Man United were going through a lean spell. People were questioning whether it was the end of Fergie's reign of success at Old Trafford, and they won then the Carling Cup, and then the following season they began a run of three successive Premier League titles. Now, is it coincidence or is it just, you know, finding a new team? I think it goes beyond that, and I think it's that kind of winning mentality, is the desire to win more. A few of these players, we know how good they are, but they just need that first bit of silverware under their belts. And I think it's going to be crucial. I do think winning the Carling Cup, I think, could be a massive turning point for some of the younger players, but also some players like Samir Nasri, who we know he's having a fantastic season. But what will that do for his belief and his confidence for the rest of this season, Premier League title race, Champions League, all to come, it's all to play for. And I think, you know, winning the trophy could be absolutely massive for this team.
And especially because there's young players as well. You know, you talk about the Carling Cup being a competition for younger players. And I think one of the things that we've seen this year, of course, is a change of attitude from Arsene Wenger. But of course, the other side of that is that some of the young players that started in this competition years ago have grown up now. And they are part of the first team squad. Wilshere, we know, is this year's addition. But, you know, Fabregas, Bentner, Walcott, these guys all started really in the Carling Cup. So, I mean, while there's definitely been a bit of a change of attitude from the manager, is it not as well the case that the squad is maturing?
Yeah, I do think you're right. I think, in fairness to Arsene Wenger, while, you know, sometimes I think he's rested big players for big Carling Cup ties, I do think it has given the opportunity for some of those younger players to graduate, if you like. And now, if you look at it, and actually, Bertrand Martinez, after the game on Saturday, the Wigan manager said that of all the teams in the title race, Arsenal have got the strongest squad. I think there's certain areas where, you know, I still think Arsenal's squad is lacking in key areas, you know, centre-halves for one. But I think throughout the squad, I think there's great numbers now, and that's really good to see. I think the frustration for me is just obviously in key parts, but I think suddenly you're seeing, you know, players have really sort of graduated. When you see when we talk about Arsene Wenger resting and rotating the squad for games, which I'm sure we'll do against Huddersfield as well, I think that comes into play. You know, those players who've come of age, who've graduated, suddenly they're up for that sort of challenge and they can win through, which I think is absolutely hugely important for Arsenal.
A man who got two assists, you know, on paper on Tuesday night was André Arshavin, and he's going through a very bad period in his career. Still came out with two assists, which will boost his stats, which Arsene Wenger loves, we know. But I think he's got two goals in his last 22 games for Arsenal. He's fallen out of favour. He's now a substitute. When there's a big game, you would normally have expected him to play. Now he's warming the bench, and if he comes on at all, he's doing well. And you mentioned him in your column yesterday, and the sense of it really was sort of shape up or ship out in terms of Arshavin. How do you view what's going on with him? Do you see a player who is just going through an extraordinarily bad time? Because you could point to somebody perhaps like Lukasz Fabianski, who had that period last season where he couldn't look at the ball without throwing it into his own net, which is, by any standards, or however you view him as a goalkeeper, just extraordinarily bad, you know, that particular run. So is Arshavin going through something like that? Or is it a case that he's just, you know, he's not responding well to being left out of the team and isn't trying? I mean, there seems to be more effort from him in the last few games. So what's your view on what's going wrong with him and how he fixes it, if he does?
Well, I find it really fascinating. It has sort of really divided opinion. And I tweeted during the game and just immediately after the game on Tuesday night that I thought Arsenal was awful. And immediately get a flood of often patronising replies. Didn't you? You know, you blind, mate. What game are you watching? You know, he's laid on two assists. Well, we know that. You know, he supplied the corner, he supplied the through ball. But I've got to tell you that basically, from my seat in the press box, I was watching the game, and particularly during the second half, I thought there were times where he just literally stood still with his hips, sort of, just downwards, his shoulders hunched up, looking to the floor as if can't really be bothered. And I just think we know what a great player he is. The player that Arsenal signed and broke the bank for, by Arsenal standards, was a world class player. We'd seen him reach incredible standards during Euro 2008. And I just think it may be that he's going through a period of bad form or confidence. But I think that there's one real way to work your way out of that, and it's to really dig in and work hard. And I think that his work ethic this season has been pretty lame. He's a fascinating character to interview. I've interviewed him a few times, and he's really a nice guy, you know, a really interesting sort of person to chat to. But I do think in there are perhaps maybe some deeper line issues as to whether he thinks, you know, Arsenal for the long term is for him, and maybe he's got to make those sort of decisions. I must say, I thought earlier in the season he had sort of 18 months left and Arsenal would have to make a big decision on him, but I spoke to Arsene Wenger about it recently. He was actually sort of saying that he's got this season and two more. But I think, being realistic, I think that Arsenal, as a player of his quality, of his value, will have to make crunch decisions on him this summer as to whether they're going to give him a new contract with 2 years left. So I do think, and from now until the end of the season, is a big point for Arshavin. Everyone can see that he made the two assists on Tuesday, but there's not an Arsenal fan, I don't think, worth their salt, who knows that he can do an awful lot better. Because we've seen him play in those.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
games before, and if he really applied himself, then I'm sure he could work his way through this bad form, if that's what it is. Or maybe it's beyond that, but he is so frustrating this season. And I think at last, Arsene Wenger has almost taken him out of his first 11, and maybe that will give him the kick up the backside that he needs.
All right, well, we'll wait and see how this develops between now and the end of the season. Very quickly, the transfer window is closing on Monday evening. Arsenal fans, I suppose, are still a little unsettled by the centre-half situation, because we're told there's a definite time frame on Thomas Vermaelen now, but if he was to be ruled out for the rest of the season tomorrow, I don't think anybody would be surprised. Giroud and Koscielny seem to be forming a fairly good partnership, and the form in recent games has been good. But the only backup then is Schillaci, and should anything happen. As well as that, there's the goalkeeping issue, where we're told, or I'm told, Fabianski is injured. Almunia is not going to be allowed leave. There are some reports that Arsenal were looking at the Rangers goalkeeper McGregor. So with really just 48, 72 hours to go until the close of the transfer window, do you expect Arsenal to do any business?
We had a podcast just before we went to the August window, and I was utterly convinced that Martin Schwartz was going to come in. I better not hang that. Listen, I still think that Chamberlain will get done, but I think basically that's always going to be the thing, is where he will be for the rest of this season. So, you know. And look, we've got to be realistic in this one and accept that I think there are other clubs interested, but I do really think he wants to come to Arsenal. But look, let's be honest, even if he's loaned back or arrives here now, he's not the player that we're talking about, is he really?
No.
Arsenal need a centre-half, I think, really. They have got a great opportunity to go and win the Premier League title, let alone the Carling Cup. And what frustrates me is that I'm not convinced that he's going to bring someone in. Arsene Wenger said at the end of his press conference the other night, he sort of said, "Oh, you know, I'd be surprised if we sign anyone now." So I just caught his eyes, you know, as he left the room, and I said, "Does that include a centre half? And does that include a loan signing as well?" And he said, "Yeah." And basically kind of smiled and walked off. And so you can take that how you like. But I think if they had an outstanding loan offer that came up, or a short-term contract with maybe someone out of contract at the end of the season, then they'd take it. I do think that last week I got a bit excited about Chris Samba, because I do think there was a good level of interest there last week. And I've seen the stories about Bergera, maybe, you know, it's an option. Arsene Wenger's, you know, sort of during the World Cup, he said he liked him as a player. But I think it would be one like that, really, that if someone comes in, then that could be an option. But I just find it frustrating, really, that Arsenal won't go the extra yard. Great profits, high ticket prices. They've got a brilliant team with one obvious flaw in the squad, the lack of centre-halves. You know, if everyone's fit and raring to go, then great. And I've been critical of Koscielny this season, but what a season he's now having, and he's improved no end. The Marlins are a really good player, but I think each of those would benefit so much from having a big stopper, a big commander alongside them. And I just think that whether that be sort of Sandor or Cahill, I just wish Arsenal would go out and spend the extra money, because I tell you what, if they had that sort of really, you know, good centre-half, I'm not saying that either of those are world-class, but a really good, commanding, Premier League-proven centre-half, I would stake my, you know, I'd eat my hat, you know, sort of do whatever, but I would put, you know, sort of money on Arsenal winning the title. I think it's there for them to do. I think if they fall short, then I think one of the questions of the inquest would be, unfortunately, sort of, you know, gaps in the squad, and the most obvious gap would be at centre-half for me.
All right, so not expecting anyone then.
No.
Well, I mean, it's hard to see. Well, I mean, it's hard to see if he gets an outstanding loan offer, but really, what outstanding player is going to be on loan or available for loan between now and Monday? So
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, I thought Sol Campbell did well last season on a short-term deal. I'm not suggesting for a moment that will happen again, you know, because I think, well, I'm sure that Sol Campbell would love to come back again. I don't think that's now an option. You know, you never know, something might sort of, you know, you might pluck up a sort of one that we've never heard of in France, and you know, might do a good job, but I can't really see it at the moment.
All right. Okay, John, we better leave it there. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed to John Cross. You can find him, of course, in the Mirror or mirrorfootball.co.uk or on Twitter. If you're a Twitterer, he is there. Twitter.com/John Cross Mirror. And we'll chat to him again a little later on in the season. Now, before we look ahead to the games coming up and all the other bits and pieces, here's some Talkshy Radio.
And finally, there are serious delays in and around Oxford Street as Andy Gray has climbed to the top of Debenhams and is threatening to throw himself off. A large crowd has gathered shouting things like, "Do it, Fatso," and "Take a leap, son." The police are nowhere to be found. That's it. We'll have more traffic in an hour.
Thank you very much indeed, sexy Australian traffic. I'm not sexy. Plain Australian traffic. Well, not plain. Well, sexy, but not in a way that means that is what defines her, if you know what I mean. She's very pretty, but also extremely good at her job, and her looks have nothing at all to do with anything, really. But there you go. We'll have more traffic in an hour. This is Talk Shite Radio, talking shite about sport 24 hours a day. And there is one man that has been the focus of so much attention this week. We are delighted to have him here, not least because he's in mourning for the, well, death, we might say, the death of his sidekick's broadcasting career. Richard Keys is here to talk about all the stuff that's gone on. Richard, welcome.
Afternoon.
Afternoon to you too, Richard. Now, you're in the spotlight because of remarks that you made that you thought were off-air about a female lady, blinds person, official. Well, I don't know what the actual PC name is for them. Lines lady, lines chick. I don't know. But you claim everything's been blown out of proportion and people are overlooking the fact that this female lady, lines person, bloke enjoys a bit of the old ribald cut and thrust, and it's well known.
She was in dressing rooms full of sportsmen who enjoy a little bit of lads' mag humour, and I'm absolutely certain it was wrong.
Well, that is shocking. Frankly, there's no place for women in the sanctuary of the male dressing room. It is like a sporting sacristy, if you will. And when she was told to leave, I suspect she played the old gender card, right?
She claimed that was because she's a woman. That is her view. It's not necessarily mine. It might be that others don't share that either. But she played that card, rightly or wrongly.
Well, wrongly, Richard. I don't think that one's up for debate. Yourself and Andy are giants of the game, but you feel something sinister is at foot, that there's been people out to get you.
You know, with success comes envy. They have targeted two individuals. I'm not here to express how sorry I feel about Sean Massey. I accept there is no place, as I've said a number of times in a modern workplace, to say sorry.
This is where I really feel for you, Richard, because we are the same, you and I. Top-of-the-range broadcasters, we should not be accountable to the general public. And even some footballers have been having a go.
I noticed Rio Ferdinand tweeted and said, "Prehistoric banter, no place for it." Rio, you are daft.
Quite right, too. Let he who is without missing a drug test cast the first stone. That's what I say. Now, Richard, you and I go back many years, and this next bit is a little bit delicate, but I've been told from inside Sky that one of the reasons you got into so much trouble is a new sort of habit that you've formed in studio while the game is going on. You enjoy a bit of a crafty wank. Is that something you've always wanted to do? Was it an ambition for a long time?
It is something that I've been bursting to do.
And is it true, Richard, that during the Arsenal game last week when David Beckham attended, you went the whole way in studio? I was sitting there watching David and it just happened, did it?
I wanted to come. It shouldn't have happened, you know. It shouldn't have happened. It's something that I'm enormously upset about, it reflects what goes on in pubs and clubs, you know.
But really, you know, much as I respect you, Richard, is it something you have to do in studio?
Of course I have to. And I have been doing so.
Richard, I've got to admit, I'm glad I don't have to share headphones with you. Who needs a spunky ear? What? Anything to say just to sum things up at the end? Last comments?
No. I'm not sorry. At all. Because, look, I'm right.
Richard Keys, an absolute pleasure to have you here. This is Talkshite Radio, talking shine about sport 24 hours a day. It's all been a bit heavy. When we come back after the break, we're going to lighten the mood. Stan Collymore is here to tell us about the time he gave that weather girl a black eye.
Talkshite Radio, talking shite about sport 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day.
More from Talkshite Radio soon enough, inevitably, I suppose. Looking ahead to the weekend, it's FA Cup fourth round and we play Huddersfield at home, and there's going to be a lot of changes, I suspect. Three players who we haven't seen for a long time could be on their way back. Manuel Almunia, Abu Diaby and Thomas Rosicki all in line to start the game. Diaby is back from his, I don't know, what does he have this time? His general malaise, we might say. Rosicki's been ill. He's had a virus, so he's going to come back in. And Manuel Almunia, who apparently was all set to leave the club because of the injury to Fabianski, is now not being allowed to do so because Manone's gone off to Hull for the rest of the season. And should something happen to Chesney, then all we've got is James Shea. And there's another Argentinian lad, I think, but they're too young, and too inexperienced. And from what I'm told, is that Almunia, despite the fact he might play on Sunday, and I think that's just to give him a game and keep him in reasonable shape, or at least get a bit of match fitness back about him, Almunia will understudy Chesney. So that's interesting, and it just shows the way the balance of power has shifted in the goalkeeping situation. What will be really interesting is when Fabianski comes back. Will Chesney keep his place then? And it's going to be, I suppose, if Fabianski and Chesney are fit for the rest of the season, it's going to be fairly boring for Manuel Almunia. But there you go. That is the ups and downs of being a professional footballer. While I feel for him in the sense that, you know, if you want to play, every player wants to play. But at the same time, he's done very well for himself out of Arsenal. I'm not saying, you know, that's a bad thing. He's just done very well. So there's ups and downs. So you've got to take the downs as well as the ups. And, you know, he'll know fine well that when he came into the team, it was Jens Lehmann who had a final season at the club where he really didn't play very much at all. And that's just the way of the world. So he's there for insurance for the rest of the season. Who else is back? Skilacci is back. I suppose we're going to see Eboué. We're going to see Gibbs. Interesting that we let Ramsey go on loan, because this is the kind of game he could easily have played in. So I don't know what we're going to do in terms of rotating the midfield. Danielson will come in. We'll have Arshavin and Bentner and Shamak. And we'll make plenty of changes, I think, for the Huddersfield game. Because on Tuesday, then, we've got a very, very important league game against Everton. And we've got to keep up the momentum in the league as well. Because United, well, they just don't seem to be beatable at the moment. Or if there's a rub of the green to be got, they get the rub of the green. So a big week of football, because we need to keep up the pressure in the league, and obviously progress in the cup would be a very good thing as well. And we're heading into that sort of territory then, aren't we, where we're looking at Barcelona in the not-too-distant future. After Everton, I think there's Newcastle at the weekend, and then, what is it? I think we might have a week without a midweek game, but you never know, because the Carling Cup final has been clashes with the Spurs game. The Spurs game was supposed to take place on the 26th, and the Carling Cup takes place on the 27th. I wonder, can they move that back? I doubt they can at this stage. It's probably a little too soon. So we may have a week off before we play Wolves, I think it is, and then Barcelona. But we've got to keep the momentum going. And the team that we put out, despite all the changes that we'll make on Sunday, I think that's a team that is more than capable of beating Huddersfield Town, with all due respect to them and the FA Cup and the sort of shocks that that tournament can bring. So really, that's about that. There hasn't been a great deal else going on. We'll just take a quick short news break.
Coventry City Football Club made history today by offering the first season ticket for women. It is a breakthrough in the modern game, as Chairman Richard Keyes explains.
We're delighted to offer this ticket to women. All women are open to apply, and the first one to get the offside rule right gets it. Rawr.
Applications close this Friday and should be accompanied by a picture of your bloomers.
So there you go. That's just about that. Only for me to wish you a good weekend. It's going to be an interesting weekend here in Dublin, because we've got the very, very first ever annual Arseblog convention, which should be fun. Tom is over here in Dublin for the weekend, so we're going to have the annual Arseblog convention, the very first one, the inaugural Arseblog convention, in which we'll sit around and perhaps we might take a glass of something mildly alcoholic, and we'll discuss all the various bits and pieces that we've got going on for the site, all the improvements and features we're going to add, and then we might have another glass of something mildly alcoholic, and I'd say that'd be it. Fairly tame weekend, I would say. You know us, abstemious men, gentlemen, who know our limits, and wouldn't at all go overboard with booze. Mm-mm. So if there's a hungover blog this weekend, well, you know that it's Tom that has led me astray, and won't have anything to do with me at all. But if there are hungover blogs, please be kind and don't talk too loud. It hurts. So here's to a good win on Sunday, 3 good points on Tuesday, and of course I'll talk to you on next week's Arsecast. So until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello, I am Arshavin, and has come to attention that some comment I make many time ago about women and driving has caused controversy. I would like to take opportunity after advice and speak with family to apologize for comment. They were unacceptable and have no place in modern world. It is not right to say that women should not be allowed driving just because they are women. You have to say women are not allowed driving because women are terrible driver. What? But how make worse? Oh, I shall not understand.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.